Today is June 16th, and this is Kathy bringing you news from the Danville area for the entire Vermilion County, mostly from the commercial news. From the front page, Run to Raise Funds for Dax Child Center by Carol Rome. Danville area families are encouraged to come to Danville Area Community College next week to enjoy a morning of colorful fun during Dax Child Development Center's annual Fun Run event. The third annual Color Run Walk is set for June 24th. The 1 kilometer race on Dax campus will begin at 9:30 a.m. at the Child Development Center on the west side of campus. It's open to the community and we will run all around the campus, Melissa Stout, the school-age teacher for 6 through 12-year-olds and assistant director of the Child Development Center, said. The cost of the Color Run is $10 for a family of four before the registration deadline on Wednesday. Families also may register the day of the event at a cost of $12 for a family of four, Stout said. All children enrolled in Dax Child Development Center can participate for free. Participants should wear a white or light-colored shirt or costume and protective eyewear. We will have 7 to 8 color stations, Stout said. We make our own color, so we try to throw color on them constantly. The race is a little less than 1.5 miles, so youngsters should be able to cross the finish line. After the race, we'll provide water and a ribbon for every child that completes the run, she said. All of the proceeds from the event will go to the Child Development Center to purchase supplies such as new books, games, activities, furniture, and materials for all four of the center's classrooms. We are raising funds to purchase materials or toys that the college can't provide, Stout said, referring to the state's lack of funding for higher education. Stout said that all of the youngsters at the center are involved in the preparations for the event, such as making signs and the color splash powder for the race. In addition to the fun run walk, all other family activities such as face painting and bubble blowing are planned for the grassy area outside of the center. Prior to organizing the annual Color Run Walk, the Child Development Center used to offer an Olympic-style event with fitness and wellness activities for the center's children and their families. The center then decided a few years ago to plan a much larger event that would be open to the community, with the proceeds going directly to the Child Development Center and its classes. To continue to encourage family involvement and making healthy choices, a fitness area will be set up at this year's event with a mini obstacle course, hurdles, and t-ball. They are little activities they can do before or after the race, Stout said. This next article, 5K Walk Saturday to Honor Fathers by Jennifer Bailey. A Father's Day 5K walk on Saturday, that would be this Saturday, tomorrow, is to honor local fathers, stepfathers, grandfathers, and father figures. A bunch of our young men do not have a father figure, said Reverend Daniel Offit, director of the Danville Rescue Mission. He said, but we're still here in the community. There are mentors and father figures throughout the community for those who need guidance, he said. The Father's Day 5K walk will begin at 8 a.m. Saturday. The walk will start at Garfield Park and proceed to Lincoln Park, where there'll be a few speakers, free food, and refreshments. The walk is sponsored by the mission Mo Betta Din Good BBQ and Juke Gaming. Offit said the event is to let some of the young people in the community know that the routes you are taking, you don't have to take those routes. I started out as a troubled youth, Offit said. He joined gangs to fit in and drank and smoked, he said. Thank God the light switched. He said Bishop Barry Elliott with the Tabernacle of Praise Church and the New Life Church of Faith, Pastor Thomas Miller, were mentors. I've always had a mentor, Offit said. Offit said he could have been in jail or strung out on drugs if it weren't for the mentors in his life. Rob Gifford, executive director of the Boys and Club of Danville, said that about 65% of the club's youth come from single-parent households. He said many children don't have a male role model in their lives, and the club and other organizations in the community try to help provide those mentors and that interaction. Next article, Danville Symphony Orchestra to Give Free Performance by Mary Wyckoff. If you've always wanted to hear a symphony orchestra but are short on cash, the Danville Symphony Orchestra has a gift for you. In appreciation to the community for a successful and exciting 50th anniversary year, DSO will present a free concert on Saturday. The orchestra, with music director Jeremy Swirling and violinist Jennifer Leckie, will present Vivaldi's Four Seasons at 7:30 p.m. Saturday in the main sanctuary of St. James United Methodist Church. No tickets or reservations are required. The performance has been underwritten by the Hayworth Endowment from St. James Church and a local anonymous donor. DSO Director Ryan Local said, "After such an amazing 50th anniversary season, we are happy to be able to give back to our community with a performance of such well-known music like The Seasons, with our own concertmaster, Jen Leckie. It will certainly be an exciting performance, free for all, and distinctly Danville for our hometown music lovers." Leckie is excited about the concert, too, saying, "It's going to be a fun concert. The orchestra is terrific." "Also, this is a great opportunity for people to check out the orchestra," she said in a telephone interview. The Four Seasons is a group of four violin concerti by Italian composer Antonio Vivaldi, each of which gives a musical expression to a season of the year. They were written around 1721 and were published in 1725. Unusual for the time, Vivaldi published the concerti with accompanying poems which describe in words the music he had composed. It provides one of the earliest and most detailed examples of what was later called program music, music with a narrative element. Leckie said of the Four Seasons, "It's such a famous piece that a lot of people will recognize. It's a great piece." The music is often heard in movie soundtracks, TV ads, or playing on Muzak. Listeners will be able to distinguish the Four Seasons through music that mimics thunder and the harvest, for example. "That's what makes it interesting to listen to," she said. This is the first time for Leckie to do a solo version of the piece. She's done scaled-down versions for special events in the past. The orchestra and Leckie will play together, and then she'll do her solo part, and then they'll join up again. As a concertmaster, Leckie's job is to decide ahead of time how the music will be played and to give copies of the marked-up music to the musicians. She also would sit in front and lead her section, the bows. "It's fun. I get to make decisions about how to play the music," she said. However, for this concert, her friend Eric Pidlusky will fill in as concertmaster so Leckie can concentrate on her solo parts. He also will tune the orchestra beforehand. Leckie, who lives in the Chicago area, has performed many world and U.S. premieres in addition to soloing with the Elgin Symphony and the College of DuPage Symphony. She holds a Doctor of Musical Arts degree from Rutgers University. As a soloist, she was third prize winner of the Crane New Music Festival Solo Competition and winner of the Rutgers University Award for Excellence in Performance and Scholarly Writing. Leckie was also a finalist in the Alliance Chamber Music Festival competition and a semi-finalist in the Fischhoff Chamber Music Competition. Now in his 21st season as music director of the DSO, Swirling's innovative programming and enthusiastic podium presence have helped lead the orchestra's growth and development to many record achievements, including ticket sales, fundraising, education programs, and artistic success. The Danville Symphony Orchestra celebrated its golden anniversary during the 2016-17 concert season. One of the highlights was the Fantastic at 50 Gala in April at the Palmer Arena. As an active and professional performing arts organization in Vermilion County, the DSO has been providing top-notch performances with world-class guest artists in East Central Illinois and West Central Indiana residents since 1967. This headline is actually from the News Gazette. Two men plead not guilty to fatal stabbing by Noel McGee. Two men will stand for trial for murder in connection with the May 30th fatal stabbing at the Fair Oaks housing complex. Vermilion County Circuit Court Judge Charles Hall on Thursday found probable cause to try Marcus D. Jefferson and Ronald R. Pettis, each on two counts of murder, a Class M felony, one count of aggravated battery, a Class 3 felony, and one count of mob action, a Class 4 felony, in the death of Curran Kimmins. At their preliminary hearings, Jefferson, 23 of Chicago, and Pettis, 23 of Danville, pled not guilty to the charges through their court-appointed attorney, Assistant Public Defender David Salazar. Their pre-trial hearings were scheduled for July 20th. Hall ordered that their bond of $1 million stand. That means each would have to post $100,000 in order to be released from the Vermilion County Jail. Under questioning by Assistant State's Attorney Lindsay Van Fleet, Danville Police Detective Danielle Wallen said she reviewed police officers' reports of the stabbing, which occurred in the 900 block of Campbell Lane shortly after midnight on May 30th. Lee Wallen acknowledged that the victim, Mr. Kimmons, had a 1-inch stab wound to the upper shoulder and that a juvenile had been arrested for the crime. A 15-year-old female is facing 5 counts of first-degree murder and 1 count of mob action in connection with the stabbing. Llewellyn said the police interviewed multiple witnesses at the public safety building, and witnesses reported seeing both Jefferson and Pettis at the stabbing. The detective also stated that in an interview with police the next day, Jefferson admitted to punching the victim at the time of the stabbing, and Pettis admitted to being at the scene. She added that police recovered video that showed Pettis hitting Mr. Kimmons at the time of the stabbing. Balloon events set for the weekend. The countywide Balloons Over Vermilion celebration kicks off this weekend with the first of several community events that will feature colorful hot air balloons. Local pilots who will participate in the main balloon event at Vermilion Regional Airport on July 14th and 15th will share their joy of ballooning early by bringing their aircraft to community events to answer questions and take pictures with the public, according to the release. If the weather allows, pilots will inflate their balloons and glow them around dusk. Bismarck and Potomac are the first scheduled community events this summer to feature a hot air balloon. Potomac's 2-day summer celebration starts at 5 p.m. midnight until midnight today with a pulled pork dinner, beer tent, and live music featuring the band Big Guns. Saturday kicks off bright and early with community-wide yard sales, a cornhole tournament by 4 p.m., and the Potomac Lions Club cakewalk at 6:30 p.m. The Sons of the American Legion will sell ribeye steak sandwiches for lunch and pulled pork brisket dinners. The beer tent will feature entertainment starting at 12:30 p.m. with Yesterday's Country and Catapult headlining at 8 p.m. Pilot Donna Carlman Vish and her balloon Sunny Side Up will tether and glow in Westside Park starting at 7:30 p.m. on Saturday, weather permitting. The balloon appearance is sponsored by the Village of Potomac and Casey's General Store. Raffle tickets are available for $5 for a balloon ride at a later date. The raffle proceeds will benefit the Parks Department. The Bismarck Men's Club will host pilot Dean Carlton in his Kazooie balloon at 6:45 Saturday prior to Bismarck's annual fireworks display on the junior high and high school grounds. The balloon appearance has been made possible through the Bismarck Men's Club, which will conduct 3 sets of raffles to benefit future fireworks presentations in the Bismarck community. This next article, State Behind on Payments to County, by Brendan Dennison. With the Illinois legislature still without a budget, reality is certainly hitting close to home, even on the county level. Vermilion County board members reported at their meeting on Tuesday that the state of Illinois was behind on some payments to the county. Steve Forez, chairman of the board's Finance Personnel Committee, said there was some concern with the state not paying its bills to the county. In one example, he said payments from sales tax that cycles through Springfield are running behind. Although he couldn't place a firm figure on how much the state was behind, he said the probation department was way behind on payments from the state. Board Chairman Mike Maron said that at the meeting they are monitoring revenue closer than before, and that one positive was they've stepped up their game in that regard. He added County Treasurer Darren Duncan was regularly updating them on the situation. Maron said payments from the state were decreasing every month and county expenditures were actually lower than what they budgeted. There's no problem with the budget except for the state, he said. State Representative Tom Bennett, whose district extends from north of Danville to well past Hoopston, also spoke at the county board meeting to provide an update on the state budget situation. May 31st came and went, he began, and no budget had been presented to the governor. Springfield is burning, if I may use that expression. Rome is burning, he said, and I believe in some ways Illinois is burning as well. Each day the state spends $11 million more than what's being brought in, Bennett said at the meeting. We have not had the desire or the ability to live within our means, he said. There's a culture that we have to try to work with. If we don't have it, we don't want it. He said that hasn't been a problem in Springfield. If money isn't there, it just doesn't seem to slow us down, which is the wrong way to go, he said. Living within our means hasn't been a part of it and needs to be now. He
He also said House Speaker Michael Madigan shows no interest or desire for economic reforms, and Governor Bruce Rauner has stated he's open to tax increases if there are major reforms. This isn't a Madigan or a Rauner issue. This goes back to living within our means, he said. We haven't done it, and we're getting to the point where we can no longer kick the can down the road. He said lawmakers may be called back to session by the end of June, and the Appropriations Committee planned on meeting this week. And now we'll turn to the obituaries for the Vermilion County area. Helen M. Baldwin. Helen M. Baldwin, 101, of Bensonville, Illinois, formerly of Indianola, passed peacefully in her sleep Monday, June 12th, at Bridgeway Senior Living in Bensonville. A celebration of Helen's century-long life will be at 11 a.m. Friday, June 16th, at Sunset's Houghton Leisure Funeral Home at 200 East West Street in Georgetown, with Mark Ketcherside officiating. Visitation will be 10 to 11 a.m. Friday at the funeral home prior to the service. She will be laid to rest in Woodlawn Cemetery, Indianola. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be given in her name to Cornerstone Christian Church, 1607 Greenwood Cemetery Road in Danville. Betty Wharf in Danville. Betty Wharf, 88, of Danville, died at 12:14 p.m. Wednesday, June 14th, at Presence United Samaritans Medical Center in Danville. A memorial service will be held at 6 p.m. Saturday at Anderson Funeral Home, 427 East Main Street, Hoopston, with Gary Wharf officiating. Burial will be held at a later date. Visitation will be from 3 to 6 p.m. Saturday at the funeral home. Vance E. Pearson. With deep sorrow, family and friends mourn the unexpected death of Vance E. Pearson of Georgetown, a well-known farmer in the area, who passed away at 10:15 p.m. Monday, June 12th, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. A celebration of Vance's life will be held at 2 p.m. Saturday, June 17th, at Sunset's Houghton Leisure Funeral Home, 200 East West Street, Georgetown. Visitation will be held from 4 to 7 p.m. Friday, June 16th, at the funeral home. He will be laid to rest in Crown Hill Cemetery, Ridge Farm. Memorial donations may be given in his name to Forest Glen County Preserve, where he often enjoyed visiting during his final years. Chris McDowell. Christopher Chris James McDowell, 50, of Westville, left us suddenly on Monday, June 12th, in Cleveland, Ohio. Per his wishes, a visitation is planned for Sunday, June 18th, at Pape Family Funeral Home, 10 East William Street in Danville, from 4 to 7 p.m. Services will be at 10 a.m. on Monday, June 19th, at Pape's, with Pastor Ramey Gordon officiating. Burial will follow in Saints Peter and Paul Cemetery, east of Westville, with military honors by Westville American Legion 51, the American Legion Riders, and the Patriot Guard. Jacqueline Wilson. Jacqueline, or Jackie Wilson, 90, of Carmel, Indiana, passed away Saturday, June 10, 2017. In lieu of flowers, the family has requested that memorial donations be sent to the Alzheimer's Foundation or the Wawasee Area Conservancy Foundation. The family will hold a private memorial service at a later date. Major Frank J. Coach Luzinski, USMC Reserve, retired. Major Frank J., also known as Coach Luzinski, USMC Reserve, 84, of Danville, passed away at 1:57 a.m. on June 14th at Hawthorne Inn in Danville. A celebration of life will be held at 3 p.m. on Monday, June 19th, at the Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center at 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. The Reverend Randall Robison will officiate. Military rites will be accorded by American Legion Post 210 at the funeral home following services. Visitation will be held from 1 to 3 p.m. on Monday, June 19th at the funeral home. Memorials may be made in his memory to the Big Brother Big Sisters at 100 North Franklin Street, Suite B in Danville, or the charity of the donor's choice. John Charles Brazos, M.D. Dr. John C. Brazos of Sedalia, Missouri, died Monday, June 12th, at the University of Missouri Hospital in Columbia, Missouri. Funeral services will be at 2 p.m. Sunday, June 18th, at the Heckert Funeral Home, with the Reverend Dr. Chad McMullen officiating. Casket bearers will be grandsons. Burial will be in Smithton Cemetery. The family will receive friends from 1 p.m. until the time of services at the funeral home. Memorial contributions are suggested to the First Christian Church in care of the Heckert Funeral Home. Betty Ladine Girard. Betty Ladine Murray Girard, 83, of Glendale, Arizona, formerly of Georgetown, was accepted into the arms of our dear Lord on June 12, 2017. A celebration of Betty's life will be at 11 a.m. Saturday, June 17th at Sunset's Hot and Leisure Funeral Home, 200 East West Street, Georgetown, with Pastor Mike Fileski officiating. Visitation will be 10 to 11 a.m. Saturday prior to her service at the funeral home. She will be laid to rest in the Georgetown Cemetery. Doris Fern Gilbert from Tilton. Doris Fern Gilbert, 58, of Tilton, passed away at 12:30 a.m. Tuesday, June 13th, at the Presence United Samaritans Medical Center in Danville. As per Doris's wishes, cremation rites will be accorded in Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center at 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville, is assisting the family with arrangements. Memorials may be made in Doris's memory to Kara, 609 East 5th Street in Tilton, Illinois. Tony Chrisman Hafner. Tony Chrisman Hafner passed away June 13, 2017. There will be a memorial dinner down the road. Details will be posted on Facebook at a later date. And back to some of the news articles. Credit Union Members Vote by Jennifer Bailey. After an official vote with ballots to be turned in by June 21st, First Illinois Credit Union will merge with Vibrant Credit Union headquartered in Moline. Sign changes would occur July 1st with the approval. The merger is not expected to be finalized until October, when First Illinois would operate under Vibrant Credit Union. All 27 local employees will keep their jobs, and they're looking to add more, and we're looking at some major remodels, said John Hegg, First Illinois Credit Union President and CEO. All three branches, two in Danville on Gilbert and Voorhees Streets and one in Covington, Indiana, will remain open with the same hours. The two Danville locations will see building remodels. The Covington location opened in April of 2014. Hegg said the construction would start after the first of the year to deliver a much better member experience. It's going to be much more user-friendly. There are about 8,600 First Illinois Credit Union members living or working in Edgar, Clark, or Vermilion counties in Illinois, and Fountain, Warren, or Vermilion counties in Indiana. Hegg said the merger is more of a partnership. We are in the best financial shape we've been in. We didn't have to merge at all. We were approached, he said. Hegg said First Illinois and Vibrant had a lot of common ideas, and this partnership will take the First Illinois Financial Banking to the next level. This is kind of exciting news for Danville. We will be having a bigger business presence in town than we ever had had, he said. He said there will be more opportunities, such as for first-time home buyers, and more checking and deposit opportunities. He said the Kids Club will continue, and there will be more community involvement. We will have a surprise out in the Danville area later this summer, Hegg said. The bottom line is we didn't have to do this. It's really a chance to give back to our people who have been members for years and provide them something outstanding that's not really present in the Danville area, he added. First Illinois Credit Union members receive letters and ballots in the mail this week about the merger. Vibrant and First Illinois believe that combining forces will be beneficial to everyone. In collaboration, we will be able to offer greater financial strength, geographic expansion, better accessibility, more competitive products, and improved efficiencies, Hegg stated in the letter. He also says they believe the merger will allow the ability to offer strong technology, a developed service center, and enhanced products. It will be business as normal during the gradual transition until mid-October with a full conversion, Hegg said. The membership will be receiving more information and can visit the website www.vibrantcreditunion.org/1stillillinois for information. Hegg said there will be local representation on their board of directors and an oversight board here, too. They're looking to grow and see a larger presence in the community, he added. First Illinois has been serving its local members since 1951. Its assets are more than $47 million. Vibrant's assets are more than $581 million. To reflect its expanded membership base, Vermilion County Chapter Credit Union's name changed to First Illinois Credit Union in 1984. Mergers with First Illinois have included with the LNN and CNL Credit Union and Danville Holy Family Credit Union. And a little bit of sports news. Fireworks come late for the Dans. From Danville by Brian Napier. The offensive fireworks didn't come early on for Danville Dans baseball, but when they did, oh boy, did they, in style. Having to claw their way back from down 3-0 early in their game against the Lafayette Aviators, Danville tied the game 4-4 in the eighth inning via a perfectly executed double steal scoring right fielder Logan Carey. The game was eventually sent to extra frames. From there, in the bottom of the 10th inning, came a two-out, bases-loaded situation for the Dans, created by intentional walks of first baseman Michael Rothman and designated hitter Nick Weber. Enter pinch hitter Mason Doolittle. After posting a single when substituted for catcher Ben Chandling in the ninth, the 6'4", 225-pound Louisiana State freshman did one better by blasting Aviator reliever Brian Sharpe's pitch to deep center field for a walk-off grand slam, an ecstatic 8-4 triumph in extras for Danville. Doolittle, who was a part of his LSU Southeastern Conference Tournament Championship team, knew where the ball was heading as soon as he heard the crack of his bat. "Oh, yeah," Doolittle said with glee, holding his game-winning ball retrieved from the outfield. "I knew I got all of it. I wasn't sure if it was going to go out, but I had known I at least cleared the center fielder. As soon as I had hit it, I knew we had the game won." Dan head coach Eric Coleman knows where his big man thrives with the bat in his hands, which is what he believes is a part of what makes Doolittle a 2016 Under Armour All-American in high school and touted MLB prospect, a special talent. Doolittle got his grand slam that was well over 400 feet, and reasons like that are why he's going to LSU, Coleman remarked. "He's a big, physical kid and a hard worker, and he was a big part on why we were able to get this big team win." Pitching had to be on point for the Dans against the Prospect League's current highest-scoring team in the Aviators, and it was plenty good enough for Coleman and his squad. Eastern Illinois' Dustin Wilson got things off to a good start by beginning the game with 3 earned runs allowed on 4 hits with 5 strikeouts in 4 2/3 innings, but it was Dan's bullpen that really shined. Matthew Hoffman, Richie Mishishia, and Jonah Ulane all combined all the rest of the game to shut out Lafayette on just 2 hits allowed, with Hoffman going the longest. The Northern Illinois junior struck out 4-on-1 hit allowed in 3 2/3 of work. "Outstanding pitching from the guys tonight," Kelman noted. "We held them at bay long enough until Doolittle got a hold of one. All that combined to help us get the victory against a good team. The result is massive for the Dans' morale. After a 4-game losing streak dating back to June 8th, Danville has now won 2 straight after Thursday's victory and Tuesday's 7-0 triumph over the Quincy Gems. Plus, the Dans got revenge on Lafayette with the win, as the Aviators previously downed Danville 11-4 in Lafayette on June 4th. Doolittle, as a result, hopes that his game winner will help keep his squad keep their good vibes going. "This is really a big win for us emotionally, after we didn't do so hot to close out the week last week," Doolittle said. "We can get a nice run going, and we've done well to start this week with 2 wins. We've just got to keep playing hard." The Dans get a rubber match with the Aviators today, this time at Lafayette's Loeb Stadium, starting at 7:05 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's about all we have time for today. This has been Kathy reading the Vermilion County News, mostly the commercial news, a little bit of the News Gazette. It's been nice being with you today. You have a good weekend, and we'll be back on Monday.